Thanks for joining us for today's Power Walk Ministries broadcast. We're glad that you've joined us. And remember to join us again Monday through Friday at this same time.
We've all felt the sting of rejection at some point in our lives. Yet how do we respond to situations like these? Through today's teaching, Dr. Cannings helps us to find a way to loving people who just do not like us. Here he is now with today's message titled, Love That Matters.
How are you going to manage today when you have to deal with people who just don't love you? They don't like you. They don't like being around you. You get on the job and there are issues like that. And sometimes, unfortunately, there are marriages that grow cold and there are issues like that. There are family members who don't like you. You're either married into a family where people have struggles with your personality traits or just don't like you. You're dealing with this situation, and sometimes it leads to stress and a desire for isolation. And the Bible is still teaching us, how do we function in a world that basically just doesn't like us sometimes? They just don't like the way you look, don't like the fact that you're always talking about the Lord Jesus. And so we have this situation that can cause believers to run into their corner and become non-productive for God, where they don't share the gospel. They're no longer willing to be around even church people. They rather come to church and run out the door, and they isolate. And so it leads to broken relationship, tension in relationships, because we have not learned to manage how we function when people don't love us or flat just don't like us. The first thing about it that we must understand is that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through verse 9, he's telling us that unless a person is saved, loving somebody is technically impossible. They may have characteristics of love, and so you find unsaved people that can actually feel good about each other. So they have to harmonize in relationships. They have to have common interests. They have to have a lot to make relationships work, because they're basically loving themselves. The Bible is saying when it comes to enemies, then what it takes to have love is to first accept the love of God by accepting Jesus Christ into our lives as our Savior and Lord, and to accept that He died on the cross for our sins because we are a sinner. We need His salvation, and He rose from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father. We must believe that that took place, and that we believe that not just in our minds, but with a commitment to move our life towards that direction with our hearts. And when we believe it in our heart, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes into our lives 100% in us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. Now we have the Spirit of God. When God is love, the Spirit of God stimulates that need to love others inside of us when we obey God. That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. When we commit to obey God, God's love becomes perfected, complete in us, so we can love anybody at that point. When we are willing to isolate, or we need the persons around us to have everything the way we like it, so we find people that are of the same niche, and we stay with our niche, we're not about to go outside of it. The issue isn't the people around us. The issue is, the Bible says, God's love being stirred up in us because we are committed to obey Him. In 1 John, he says, in chapter 2, he says in verse 3 through 6, that's how it's perfected. And when a believer comes that way, the Bible says they have no need to fear God in chapter 5. When we are going to love, the Bible says, it is not a feeling. Hollywood has sold us out on that. It is not a feeling. Love has nothing to do with how we feel about anybody. When Jesus Christ was heading to the cross, he told us his feelings got in the way of taking on the cup. He says, Father, let this cup pass. I will take on the death, but I can't take on what this means in terms of me going to the cross. I've got to be beaten, spit upon, people mocking me, all these different things. Let the cup pass. Lord, if you let the cup pass, okay, we're done. He didn't say, God, remove the cross. He said, remove the cup. So Jesus Christ was telling us, I don't feel this. And God is saying, no, 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 it's not your feeling, it's my will. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That is my will. You execute my will. Your feelings is not on the table. You must deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow me. Jesus Christ said, not my will be done, but thy will be done. As a result of that, Calvary became a full expression of the love of God and a full expression of his hate towards sin. So we could learn about how far love goes. It's self-sacrificing. That's what love is. Love happens when we don't matter. It's when God matters totally. In verse 17 of chapter 3 of 1 John, he says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in you, dwell in you, abide in you? It's impossible. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue. Don't talk, oh, we need to love, we need to do this. You know, it's like James says, if you see your brother in need and you say you're going to pray for him, you don't have any faith. There is no commitment to obey God when you don't see how it's going to work. You would rather find an excuse to not help and pray. But there's no works, so there's no faith, no action. And that's why he says, when you do it in deed and stick with the truth. And here is the huge thing, folks. He says, when you do it, let it be an act of freedom towards the person based on the word of God. So if I'm loving somebody and it has nothing to do with the word of God, the Bible is saying it's not love. That's why he says when we obey him and keep his word, the love of God is perfected in us. So love is described by the word of God. It is determined by the word of God, and it has nothing to do with feelings. Now understand this, folks. I remember those days when I chose to whip my child and my wife is literally in the room constantly moving her legs up and down in a nervous pattern. She's not nervous I would do something to hurt the child. She's just, oh boy, I wish she didn't have to and all of this stuff. See, feelings was there, but the child needed to be disciplined in order for the child to learn the seriousness of their actions. It doesn't need to be abused. Spanking a child is not abuse. It's how you spank the child that could be abusive, but it's not abuse. It is an obedience to God's word. And it doesn't have to be every day all the time. There's a structure that we used to use. It's a side item here. We would warn them so we could make them responsible for their actions. We would never let them think, Dad or Mom is just mad, so you're getting spanked. No, 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 no. We will warn you. We will then punish you. We will take away something. But then when, by the time we get to the third issue, you're getting a whipping. So you walked your way into it. We didn't just respond to you so you think it's anger. We walked with you to get away from what we don't want to do, but you moved us in that direction. God provides us grace, but then after a while, he punishes us for our action. Now, I understand what the world has done with it, but this is what the Bible teaches about it. This is obedience to God. So we're loving the child. The child don't feel it. The parents don't feel it, but it is an obedience to God because this child needs to bear the seriousness for their actions. So when we come to this aspect of love, just like faith is, you can't say, I have faith because I dream up something and I'm going to believe God for it. No, faith is obedience to God with an expectancy that he's going to do it based on the evidence he's given me. That's why David would say, I killed a lion and a bear. I don't need the armor. Just put me in front of Goliath. He looked at the evidence and he expected God to take care of a person who cursed him, who's uncircumcised and a Philistine. That led to his faith. Love comes when we obey God, and that's why love demands faith. So if we're going to love, we are automatically generating faith. That's why James would say, you can't look at your brother and say, I'll pray for you. Then we don't have any faith. If we look at our brother and give him a cloak, we're loving the brother, but we're exercising faith in order to love the brother. So understand, folks, when we are faced with situations, Colossians chapter 3 teaches us that the one thing we don't do is complain against one another. We don't walk around with an attitude because we didn't get what we want. So now we got to accuse and say things, sometimes even slander us against the other person. In Philippians chapter 2, he says, don't grumble because life is tough and life is hard. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Don't murmur under our breath. Remember, God swallowed up the nation of Israel for grumbling because grumbling is an assault against God. What God is saying is, if I give you a trial, it's to mature you. If I put difficult situations around you, it's to make you better. Just like the pressure placed by the potter's hand on some clay makes the clay a beautiful vase. It doesn't destroy the clay unless the clay chooses to harden itself before he can do something with it. He has to break it. Understand, folks, the Bible is saying when I put pressure on you, it's to mold you, not to break you. So how do we then function in these situations? We are functioning like we just described here. Then we must remember that when the world hates us, it's not hating us, it's hating God, he would teach the disciples. When you choose to abide with me, choose to walk with me, choose to live out my principles, the righteous, Psalm 34, will experience more troubles than the person who is not righteous because they're executing the word of God in a world that hates him. So therefore, we can't complain and grumble or we spend ourselves frustrated. When he was in the midst of a lot of crisis, he would say, keep this mind. He says, whatever is right, focus on that. Whatever is pure, focus on that. Whatever is lovely, focus on that. Whatever is of good repute, if there's anything excellent, or if anything worthy of praise, dwell, remain on those things. He says, not the peace of God, but the God of peace will be there. He will keep your heart from strife and from stress. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. So Paul is saying, look at the good and perfect gifts that God is giving you and stop worrying about the negative stuff that is happening that leads you to grumbling and complaining. That way, the God of peace keeps your heart so that your joy and the strength that comes from God gives you power to be able to live in the mess. In the midst of a bad world, we can live powerfully and still love when hated. We are able to find the inner strength to love when the world is constantly against us. Because there is inner peace that leads to strength. Loving is the greatest attribute that displays the greatest act of God through us that was for us.
Thank you, Dr. Kennings. So true indeed. Love has nothing to do with how we feel about anyone. It is an act of obedience. Calvary is a full expression of God's love, and we are called to love one another. If this message has ministered to you, and you'd like to obtain a copy for yourself or a loved one, please call us at 281-260-7402. You can also visit us online and browse through our website at www.powerwalkministries.org.
I am always excited when God provides us the opportunity to serve the church, because the church is the only organism that he's committed to impact the community and the world. And that's why Power Walk partnerships with Sedine Ministry on March the 5th through the 7th, in order to serve the church, whether it's in how do we solve church conflict and come out in a more productive and efficient manner, whether it's the prison ministry, whether it's developing a counseling ministry in the church, or how do you get leaders to be strategically effective in impacting the needs of people within the local church for the glory of God. That's what this conference is about, and we invite you to it, March the 5th through the 7th. All you have to do is go to powerwalkministries.org. And you will find information about the conference on our website. Everything that you need is provided at the conference, including meals. The speakers are well-trained, well-equipped. I look forward to seeing you.
Remember, the Spirit of God in us stimulates the need to love others, even when we are hated.